If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Well, we've been doing a sermon series entitled Relentless. Relentless. Beginning the series, we talked about God's relentless love, how God pursues us relentlessly. And you know, to be relentless means you don't quit. You don't stop. You're not distracted. You're not turned aside. And so God pursues us with His relentless love. And then the next Sunday, we talked about His relentless grace. Aren't you thankful for grace this morning? Grace that gives us what we don't deserve. And God's grace, no matter what takes place in our lives, no matter what we do, God's grace is relentless on our behalf. And then last Sunday, as we got to the third message in the series, we shifted gears a little bit from God's relentless pursuit of us to our relentless pursuit of Him in a message entitled Relentless Pursuit. How that we are to pursue Him relentlessly as we run the race that is set before us. And this morning, I want to share a message with you. And I'm going to be sharing a number of scriptures in the book of Job. But as we begin, I want to focus on just this one verse in Job 13, verse 15. Job is speaking and he says, though he slay me, yet will I hope in Him, or as some translations say, yet will I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. The title of my message today is Relentless Faith. Relentless Faith. A lot of people have some misconceptions about the notion of faith. And you hear people say, well, I have my faith. And that's good as far as it goes, but what do they mean by that? What is your faith in? What is your faith based upon? You know, there is what I would call fleeting faith. Faith for the moment. Faith because we get excited. You know, we can hear a sermon from God's Word on Sunday morning, and we can have our faith stirred, you know? And we leave here Sunday morning, man, we're just ready to take on the world. Until about Monday morning. Right? Come on. And life hits us in the face. And where was that faith? It has frittered away, it seems, sometimes. Because life is tough. Life is difficult. Jesus Himself said, in this world you will have tribulation. But this morning, I want to talk about a relentless faith. A faith that holds up no matter the pressure. No matter the difficulty, no matter the challenge, no matter what the unknown future may bring, a faith that says, like Job, even no matter what God, a sovereign God, allows to come my way, even if He should slay me, yet will I trust Him. I want to have that kind of faith this morning, don't you? I want to have faith that says, Lord, I trust You no matter what. Fill in the blank, whatever happens, whatever comes my way, however I'm feeling, however I'm treated, whatever circumstance befalls me, I want to have a relentless faith in You. And so that's our focus today. And in the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, what must we understand to have a relentless faith in God? What must we understand to have a relentless faith in God? We're going to look through various portions of the book of Job and gain some understanding of the relentless faith that he had in God. Job's name is synonymous with trials, isn't it? Job's name is synonymous with suffering. But yet, I believe his name should be synonymous with faith, because he put a trust in God. So we're going to look at his life and answer the question, what must we understand to have a relentless faith in God? And I just want to share two main points with you today. And the first is this. We need to understand, and we know this experientially, but we really need to understand, first of all, that trials will test our faith, our relentless faith in God. Trials will test our faith. Can I tell you something that you may have heard before, but I believe it bears repeating? Faith isn't faith until it's tested. Theoretical faith, philosophical faith, isn't really faith. Faith isn't faith until it's tested. And there are several things we see in the account of the story of Job that illustrate the various trials that will test our faith. The first one is this, and let me preface by saying the background of the story found in the first chapter of Job is that Satan, the enemy of God, was appearing before God, and God was doing a little bragging about Job. Did you know God likes to brag about his children? He said, have you seen my servant Job? He's awesome. His faith is in me is firm. Satan said, well, Job's a wealthy man. Job has a big family. Job has wealth. Job has his health. Job has everything. Take away his possessions. Take away his wealth and his riches. See how he serves you then. God said, okay. I give you permission. Take away his wealth. Take away his material wealth. And that's the first trial that will test our faith. It's material loss. Material loss. In Job 1, verses 13 through 17, the scripture says, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys were grazing nearby, the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Like a recurring dream that gets worse each time you go through it. In an instant, everything Job had of material value was lost. It was gone. Material loss. You know, if the stock market doesn't do well, if that's where your retirement funds are invested, or something else happens, major breakdowns, transmission goes on your car and you don't have the funds to pay for it. Medical bills that you can't pay for, and material loss happens. You know, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. Somebody said the problem is when the wealth has you. God has nothing against his people being blessed. Matter of fact, God said, if we would bless him and honor him with our tithe and offering, he would bless us. He didn't promise to make us wealthy, but he promised to meet all our needs. But what about when we experience material loss, financial difficulties? We find out then if our faith is based in our accumulated wealth or if our faith is based in an eternal God. Material loss. Job experienced this. Satan came before God, and God bragged on Job again, said, see, even though you took away everything he had, he's still being true to me. He said, Satan said, well, why you need to affect him further. take away his loved ones. And so Job 1:18 through 20 tells us that grief will test our faith in God. It says, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. His family, all his children were completely wiped out in an instant. And Job mourned. The tearing of the robe, the shaving of the head, those were all elements of mourning in that culture. Boy, grief can really test your faith in God, can it? I have known and I have heard countless stories of individuals who lost loved ones, and the end result was that their faith was shipwrecked. They can't understand, and usually we can't understand, can we? Why a loved one is taken. Grief can be debilitating, and grief can stick with you. Those who study such things tells us there are stages of grief, and studies show you need to proceed through those stages. And some people do so fairly quickly. Others get stuck, you know, in denial or shock or one of the various stages. And you can be stuck in a stage for years and never become reconciled with that grief. And it can be debilitating. It can cause you to question everything you believe in. It can cause you to question your faith in God. And indeed, a number have turned from the faith because they don't understand why God allowed a loved one to be taken. Grief can test your faith, and probably everyone here in one form or another has experienced grief. It will test your faith in God. And then thirdly, we see in Job's life, sickness. When God again bragged on Job, Satan said, skin for skin, you afflict him physically and see if he holds to his faith in you. Job 2:7-8 says, Satan afflicted Job with powerful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat down among the ashes. His sores were so painful, he had to scrape the dead and decaying skin and pus and all the things associated with that. He had to take sharp pottery and scrape his skin. Can you imagine being in that much pain, that much suffering? Sickness can test your faith in God. We don't understand. And it gets especially hard. Come on, let's just be honest here, okay? It's just us. When we hear of other people who are healed, right? And they testify, and a part of us is happy for them, but a part of us says, why not me? Why haven't I been healed? Why must I suffer? And we question. And the fact of the matter is, I don't have an easy answer for you. I don't have a pat answer. I don't have a solution as to why some are healed and others aren't. There are some things we just don't understand on this side of eternity. Can we accept that this morning? And if you're battling health issues, you're battling sickness, boy, that'll test your faith. When you hurt and when you're in constant pain or discomfort, that will test your faith in God. And all of us here, either we go through a measure of that, or we are connected to someone who's been going through that. It's difficult. I'll tell you something else that Job experienced that will test our faith in God. It's temptation. Temptation. The one relative Job had left says to him in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, his wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. The one relative left was his nagging wife. And she said, you got to give it up, Job. It's over. Curse God and die. Pack it in. Give up. And you know, the Bible doesn't say. But Job, as much as we put him on a pedestal. Job was human. And I can just imagine for a moment that there was a little part of Job that wanted to take his wife's suggestion and just curse God and say, hey, it's over. I can't take it. I can't live another day this way. And he might have been tempted to say, God, I'm sorry, but I've had it. It's over. We experience temptations like that and perhaps other temptations. Scripture says no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, but he will give you a way of escape. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? But temptation will test your faith in God. And then the fifth thing, and this is so widespread in our culture, that tested Job's faith in God and will test our faith in God as well, is depression. Depression. All of chapter 3 deals, and really throughout the book, but especially in chapter 3, expresses Job's depression. The first few verses of chapter 3 say, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He said, may the day of my birth perish, and the night it was said a boy is born. That day, may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it. May no light shine upon it. May darkness and deep shadow claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm its light. Job was so depressed, he said, I wish I'd never been born. Many people in the thousands of years since Job have echoed those words. I wish I'd never been born. I wish I never saw the light of day. Can you imagine, and maybe some of you can, the depths of despair to which someone must sink to feel from their heart, I wish I'd never been born. Life is so awful. I'd be better off not to even have lived. Depression grips millions of people in our culture, in our country, in our world. And people in the church are not immune from it. Christians are not immune from depression. Now, I'm not talking about a momentary, momentary negative feelings or a fleeting depression, we have a bad day. Everybody. I don't care, the cheeriest one of all of us, everybody has a bad day now and then. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Okay, we're living in the real world, aren't we? Everybody has a bad day. I'm not talking about a bad day. I'm talking about an uninterrupted series of bad days. When you don't want to get out of bed, and not because you're tired. When you don't want to see anybody, you don't want to talk to anybody, you don't want to do anything. Depression. Boy, that'll test your faith in God. God, if you're there, why do I feel this way? God, if you're there, why am I living this way? Maybe you're here today and you've experienced the weight of depression on your life, and it's tested your faith in God. And then the last thing we see here in verses in chapters 4 through 27 is persecution. Job's And you put this word in quotation marks, Job's comforters came along. And they did what they probably felt was right to do, but wasn't much help to Job. They pointed the finger. So Job, you brought this on yourself. What have you done? You ever have comforters like that? Don't look around the room. They may mean well. Now, there are times, when we bring things upon ourselves and we need a trusted friend or someone we allow to speak into our life to point the finger and say, hey, you need to straighten up. But there are times when we're suffering because of things beyond our control. Man, we have people and they just don't get it. And they don't mean to, perhaps, but they persecute us. They give us a hard time. It's bad enough I'm going through all the things I'm going through, but man, people are just piling on. And you see, Job's three friends didn't understand. They blamed him for his troubles because they didn't understand that God allowed these troubles as a test. And make no mistake about it. As I said at the outset, it's easy to have faith in here on Sunday morning, isn't it? But faith isn't faith until it's tested. Whether it's by any of these things we mentioned, material loss, grief, sickness, depression, persecution, whatever it might be, temptation. Your faith will always be tested. In 1992, a jury convicted a man named Howard Dudley of molesting his daughter, and they sentenced him to life in prison. 25 years later, however, he became a free man. After his daughter retracted her story, a judge overturned his conviction. His son, Dennis Dudley, was 2 years old when his dad was sentenced to life in prison. At the time of Howard's release, his son Dudley now himself had a 2-year-old child and was looking forward to his son being mentored by his granddad. Howard Dudley said of his ordeal that he credits his faith for sustaining him through a life of loss. He said this is a quote. He said, "There were times when my faith wavered." Can you identify with that? He said, "There were times when my faith wavered. There were times when I faltered. But God was there to pick me up. That's who I give the glory to." What a testimony. Wrongfully imprisoned for something he didn't do. And yet, it was his faith in God. Though it was tested, though it wavered, though he got a little wobbly in the knees at time to time, it was his faith that brought him through. You may be here today, and your faith in God may be a little shaky because of what you've been through. It may have been tested, and you feel like tested almost beyond its breaking point. But I want you to know that if you'll allow him to, your heavenly Father, that good Father that we sang about this morning, he will use those trials to make your faith stronger. He will use those trials to make your faith more rock solid than it's ever been before. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? In her book, First We Quit Our Jobs, Marilyn J. Abraham writes this. She says, "We signed up for a hike with a ranger who told us a remarkable thing. When a tree's life is threatened and stressed by the elements of fire, drought, or other calamity, it twists beneath its bark to reinforce and make itself stronger. On the surface, this new inner strength may not be visible, for the bark often continues to give the same vertical appearance. Only when the exterior is stripped away or when the tree is felled are its inner struggles revealed." And the point of that is this: God can use our trials to strengthen us in ways that are not visible to the world. As I said a moment ago, the scripture is clear that he will never place any more trial on us than we can bear. I quoted this to someone the other day. I remember in Bible college studying the book of Job, I'll never forget something that my professor said. He said this: "It takes a Job to endure a Job's test." It takes a Job to endure a Job's test. Know this, church: whatever trial has come your way, whatever has battered and tested and strained your faith, it's because your heavenly Father knows what you can bear. And if you will allow him to, if you will not give up the ship, if you will not abandon your faith, but if you will cling on to him with everything you have, he will strengthen your faith through your ordeal. How many believe that this morning? God will do that through your trial. Be encouraged this morning. Whatever trial or series of trials you're going through, God wants to strengthen you. God has given you perhaps the trials of Job because he knows there's a Job within you that can endure that test. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we need to understand, first of all, that trials will test our faith. We shouldn't be surprised. Matter of fact, Peter wrote in one of his epistles, he said, "Don't be surprised at the fiery trial that comes your way." Why are we surprised? That's life. That's our lot in life, to experience trials. Trials will test our faith. But here's the second thing I want to share with you. The second thing we need to understand to have a relentless faith. There are reasons to maintain our faith in God. There are good reasons, great reasons, to maintain our faith in God. And the first one is this. There's a reason to maintain our faith in God because of God's power. Listen to what Job said in chapter 19, verse 25. A simple phrase, but it's echoed down through the thousands of years. He said this, in the midst of his trial, in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his loss, in the midst of his depression, he said this, I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. I know that my Redeemer lives. What was he saying? He was saying this, I know God is still there. I know God is alive. I know the one who oversees every aspect of my life. I know he's alive. I know he's there. I know he's watching over me. And I know that his power is available to my life. What a testimony. What a statement of faith. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of depression, in the midst of loss, Job was able to declare, I know my Redeemer is alive. I know the all-powerful, all-sufficient, omnipotent God is still alive. And he's there and he's able to meet my needs. Hallelujah. Church, no matter what you're going through, you need to know that God is alive. And not just alive theoretically, like he's just up there somewhere, disconnected from us, but he is alive and ready to bring all of his divine power to bear on your situation in your life. Knowing God is alive doesn't do much for us if we don't believe that the living God is ready, willing, and able to intervene in our situation and to sustain us by his mighty power. Indeed, thousands of years after Job, it was the resurrection power of Almighty God that brought Jesus forth from that tomb, hallelujah, to live forevermore. Paul said in Romans, that same resurrection power dwells in us. Oh, come on, church. I said that same power dwells in us. We can maintain our faith in God because he is about the business of imparting his power into our lives. I love what Paul said in his writing to the Corinthians. He said, when I came before you, I didn't come with powerful words. In essence, he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, I was weak in the knees. I didn't come with elegant speech. I didn't come with clever words, but he did say this, I came in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. And if you're here today and you're weak, if you're here today and you feel weak in the knees, you feel your insufficiency, you feel the strength ebbing away out of your body and out of your spirit, you are right where you need to be, because when you're weak, then you are strong if you're in him. We can maintain our faith in God, not because of some way we grit our teeth and not because of some inner strength within us, but because of the strength that he has and he imparts to us. When you're weak, you say, Lord, I'm weak. I need your strength. Fill me with your strength. Lord, I don't feel like I can go another moment, another day. Lord, I need your strength. And guess what? He's going to impart it to you. Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? You've experienced that. You and I can maintain our faith in God this morning because the mighty power that is in the living God is available to you and me. There's a second reason to maintain our faith in God. It's because of God's promise. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. Job said, regardless of what happens to this body, I know that I'm going to be with God. I trust in the promises of God. Job understood that there's more than this life. Job understood that there are things of eternal value and eternal import that far outweigh the momentary trials. I like the way Paul says it in Romans chapter 8. He says, listen to this, that the glory that we'll experience far outweighs our momentary trials. Isn't that awesome? We can trust in the promises of God. The scripture says that we will dwell with Jesus eternally. And sometimes we just need a little perspective adjustment. We need to understand that these trials and these heart-rending issues that we experience, while very real, in comparison to what awaits us, are momentary. They're temporary. The scripture says life is but a vapor. You ever squirt a spray from an aerosol can into the air? Room freshener? You spray it? How long do you see that in the air? A second? Maybe two? It's a vapor. It's gone. In comparison to eternity, this life, all of our years on earth are like that vapor. Poof. Gone. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine what's waiting for us? Job said, I believe in the promise of God. Say, well, how does that help me now? It should help us to know that everything's going to turn out all right in the end. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, when he's writing from a prison cell, he says, I don't know if I'm going to survive this prison term, or I don't know if I'm going to be taken to Jesus. But he said, either way, it's okay. Either way, I have Jesus. Either way, I have Jesus. Hallelujah. I think that's a great statement. That's a great thing to say this week. When you're going through a trial this week, let me encourage you to say, I don't know how this trial is going to turn out, but either way, I have Jesus. Come on, church. Does that mean something to you? That means a whole lot to me. Hallelujah. Job said, I can trust in God. I can maintain my faith in God because God keeps his promises, because God's watching over me, because God's going to make everything turn out all right in the end. Hallelujah. You can trust him. You can maintain your faith in God because God's word is true. Has God breathed something into your heart? Has God breathed something into your spirit? And then life has happened and problems develop and challenges arise. And sometimes we say, you know, I thought I heard God say something, but man, so much water's under the bridge. I don't know anymore. Can I tell you something? That is literally the oldest lie in the history of the world. Did God really say that? You know where that was first uttered? In the garden. The serpent said that to Eve. Did God really say, don't eat of that fruit? That is literally the oldest lie in existence. Did God really say that? Listen, when God speaks a promise into your heart, you hold on to it for dear life. I don't care what's happened. I don't care how much difficulty has gone on in your life, how much water's under the bridge, how much you're tempted to doubt. When God breathes a promise into your heart, you hold on to it for dear life because it is your life. It says in Numbers, God's not a man that he should lie. He's not like us. He doesn't play fast and loose with the truth. We can trust in the promises of God. Amen. I have promises that he has breathed into me, into my heart a long time ago, and I've been tempted to let go of them, but I'm choosing to hold on to the promises of God. You can maintain your faith in him, a relentless faith, in spite of trial, because God keeps his promises. What's the third reason we can maintain a relentless faith in God? It's because of God's purpose. In Job 23:10, Job said this, but he knows, he meaning God, knows the way I take, and when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. What a precious expression of a relentless faith in God. He knows the way I take. He knows the path. I spoke last week about walking the path that is marked out for us, Hebrews 12. Remember that? Each of us have a path to walk. Job said, he knows my path. He knows the path I'm on, and when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. What is he saying? Well, you've heard this analogy many times. You know, precious metals, to be purified, they are heated to the boiling point. And the impurities will rise to the top of the container and they're scooped out. And as this precious metal is heated into a liquid form, the impurities are removed and it becomes more refined. It becomes more pure. And that is a picture of the process that God uses in our life to purify us, to refine us, to make us better. Yes, he allows the heat to come into our lives. And yes, it gets a little bit hot in the flame. But he wants you to know that he's not allowing that because he wants to harm you. But he wants to perfect you. He wants to make you better. He wants to purify you. And like Job, we can say, I'm going through a test right now. I'm going through a trial right now. But I know when the trial's over, when the test is complete, I'm going to come forth purified. I'm going to come forth refined. I'm going to be just a little bit more what God wants me to be. Being in the crucible of life where life gets hot and seems like we reach the boiling point is not God's way of harming us. It's God's way of perfecting us. We need to let him do his work in our lives. Amen. A few years ago, there was an ad on TV that started like this. There was a woman sitting in a car, and she was minding her own business, and suddenly this man comes out of the blue, rips open the car door, grabs her by the arms, and roughly pulls her out of the car. It looks like he's attacking her, and the viewers look on in horror. And the camera pulls back, and we see that the car was actually on fire. The woman didn't know it. The man wasn't assaulting the woman. He was rescuing that woman. And the ad finishes by saying, you need the bigger picture. Channel 10 News gives you the bigger picture. That Channel 10 News ad, though, makes a great point, doesn't it? We experience a trial. We experience a difficulty. And all we could see in our limited, zoomed-in perspective is, I'm suffering. Why is God allowing this in my life? But if we could have the camera just zoom out a little bit, we could see he's not assaulting us. He's rescuing us. He's perfecting us. He is accomplishing his purpose in our lives. Though God slay me, yet will I trust him. We can maintain our relentless faith in God through our trials, no matter what they are, because of God's power that's available to you and me, because of God's promise that he will fulfill the word he has spoken over us, and because of his purpose to make us what he wants us to be. I said earlier that the strength of our faith depends on what our faith is in. In New York, a number of years ago, around 100 people gathered for a meeting wearing buttons that said, I believe. I believe. Nothing more. Well, that sounds encouraging, doesn't it? Until you realize this was not a religious gathering of any type. It was a group of people that came together to talk about their belief that Sasquatch exists. Well, they may believe, but how important is that belief? See, our belief isn't in something ephemeral, something fleeting. Our belief is in the living God. Our belief is in our Creator. Our belief is in the One who keeps the world spinning on its axis. Our belief is the One by whose word all creation holds together. Our belief is in the One who holds the universe, and in particular our universe, in the palm of his hand. Our belief is in the sovereign God. Amen? Hallelujah! And we can maintain a relentless faith in him. I don't know what you're going through today. I know what some of you are going through. We shared the prayer request. But I don't know what everyone's going through. I don't know what every detail of your life is. You may be going under one or several of the different trials we mentioned today. And they'll test your faith. They'll test it seemingly to the limit. But God allows that into your life to strengthen your faith. And God wants you to understand the reasons to maintain your faith in Him. To get the big picture. Knowing that He is working in your life and He will not fail you.